coming up on this episode of The Break Room.
Could the symbiotes kind of be the way to tie in the Sony characters in the MCU?
I think we need a Marvel Studios Eddie Brock. Because as much as I love Tony Revolori, that's the homie, you're not putting the symbiote on him.
Agreed.
So you're not putting it on Flash Thompson, right? You need a Marvel Studios Eddie Brock.
And you think it won't be Tom Hardy?
Absolutely not.
Okay, welcome back to The Break Room, everybody. Will the symbiote connect us all? Also, are you saying symbiote?
Oh, you remember the movie? She said Michelle Williams said symbiote. Was it Michelle Williams or was it
Jenny Slate?
Jenny Slate. Jenny Slate did it, yeah.
It's all canon. And by connecting it all, we mean the MCU and the Sony Spider-Man universe. We're going to get into that today in this very special Monday Headlines edition. Hit that beautiful graphic. Oh, there it is. I'm Zach Huddleston. I'm thrilled to be joined by an esteemed panel. I've got sometimes off-screen, sometimes on-screen producer John Costa's here.
Keep those universes separate.
Oh, damn, dude. Oh, cut it. And then,
do it.
And then Jay Washington's here.
I mean, this is the perfect thing for me to follow up with, you know, keep them separate. Hey, you know what? We're going to divide ourselves by jelly beans. Separate but equal.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is an election week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Also coming up today, can we start getting a little optimistic about the DC universe? Okay. We'll get a little trickles of news that could get us perky and excited. Also, John just made a face of me saying perky and excited. Two feelings John never feels.
All flesh all the time.
we might talk a little Oscars today and how it pertains to some of our favorite films of the last year. But first,
let's talk about Dune. Dune Part 2 dropped this weekend. Now, fans, as you know, Zach is probably one of the biggest Dune fans we have here on the show besides Maude Garrett. I think, in fact, Zach, there may be a video of you seeing Dune. Check it out.
What?
As you see, right? You know what's the best part? I'm gonna tell you something. What the best part of this whole video is: whoever was taking the tickets had to let this man in ride this thing.
Is this the Burbank AMC?
It's not. It does look very.
This is in Tulsa, I think.
Oh wow!
Because there's nothing else doing Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, that definitely looks like the Burbank AMC.
I love that 2/3 of the people in that are not even paying attention to the dude. They're not let this guy.
He's been doing it for 45 minutes. We're just kind of sick of it by now.
How much stuff happens in that theater? They're just like, hey man, it's just Josh. It's just Tuesday.
I know. Oh yeah. Do you think he works there?
No,
absolutely.
Because I feel like, you know, often people, there a lot of movie theaters have like the one guy who like dresses up opening night, you know, the Vista Theater in LA.
I do think this was a person by the name of Josh Gammon who thanked AMC in their like social media posts for letting him.
Shouts out to Josh Gammon for posting that right there. Now, if you have not seen it by chance, you know, a lot of people have gone to see it. They say this movie is breaking records, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But Zach, your thoughts? Before you say something, let me make sure I stop and say this too. We're sorry. I have not seen Dune, okay? Haven't seen it. I am not a big fan. I don't understand it. I didn't understand it as a kid. It was a lot to read, and I was just like, I'd rather read comics. So, therefore, that brings me to this point right now, where I let my friends talk about it.
And you know what, Jay? In a couple months, you know, HBO Max...
And Netflix.
You got a good 5.5 hours. Yeah, and Netflix. You got a good 5.5 hours to look forward to between the two films. Should you ever, you know, whatever, have the time.
I'm going to take an opposite position. Don't watch it.
What?
You know it's not for you. Don't watch it.
Okay.
Do we want
to?
I love it.
How can you know if it's not for you if you don't watch it?
Do we want to do a spoilers or no spoilers here?
Do spoilers. You think I don't care?
It's the Monday after the release.
It's the Monday after the release.
And also, this is a 50-year-old book. Yeah, and we're not... We won't get too heavy into plot.
And it's not like it's something that's like original and brand new and no one's ever heard of. People kind of knew where it was going. You have this giant fan base of the movie. All that people like, yo, I gotta go see Dune. I saw part one, and then you know, Paul Atreides, and that's the only reason I know the name is because of the trailer. But like all those things, so yeah, spoilers are happening.
And we had a full episode on The Break Room last week. with Evan and Maud, Jordan and Maud
and Brandon
and Brandon all talking about it. And so we're not going to spend too much time talking about it, but John and I weren't on that. We both saw the movie this weekend.
We got to see it this weekend.
And we geeked out a little bit in the office earlier.
It's very good. It's very good. If you've seen the first Dune, this is Dune 1, but better.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
What parts of it felt better than the first one to you?
I just thought that the story was more interesting, right? If you, this obviously we all know, was adapted from a book. The first half of the book was basically the first movie. The second half of the book, the second movie. And, you know, you talk about story structure and all that kind of stuff. The first part of the thing is usually a bunch of like, here's what's happening. Here's who all these people are.
Yeah.
Here's who all these people are. Which is very interesting, especially in Denis's Dune 1, where you get to go to the, like, you know, all these different houses and see all this crazy different architecture and how they're filming it. And like, they put a lot of love into that exposition, which I really appreciated. But this is like, cool, that's out of the way. Let's go have some fun.
Yeah. And that kind of movie built to one big battle.
Yep.
This movie has several, including like a big final one, and then some other like kind of battles and skirmishes and fights and all kinds of stuff sprinkled
through.
A lot more action.
What I love about both this and the first movie are the fights don't escalate. They don't need they never need to. They escalate maybe in importance, but they don't in like set piece, right? Like that final fight
that has technically the most people involved.
Has the most people involved, also has the most stakes, right? Is the most impactful, and it's beautiful and it's incredible, and it's two people.
Yeah.
Right. So
and you know, like, it's a great this is like it's a bit of a timeless story. It's, you know, aliens and other planets and stuff like that. But like, it also felt very relevant right now. There's some political overtones that like smarter people have written about, but even just the like, it's kind of a nice movie for TikTok, even though it's big, and you should see it on the biggest, I'm not saying don't watch this movie on TikTok, but I'm saying like, see it on the biggest screen. But I mean, even just like the perfect little shots and sequences, you could cut out 15 seconds here, you could cut out a frame here.
Did you watch
and
the
it
movie?
Works. What are you talking about?
Or did you just see the advertising campaign on TikTok?
Yeah, I just watch all the trailers. I feel like
really
I got it. No. But and like at the end of the day, we were talking about this a little bit. It's probably one of the best directors working out there right now. So just gorgeous, talented movie stars doing movie star stuff. Just being full, putting as much charisma on screen as possible. And then like, you know, two generations of killer character actors around them, right? Brolin and Bardem and everybody, Christopher Walken and everybody.
I'm trying to recall the last movie that like really put its star power. I mean, Oppenheimer and Barbie are maybe the two that were that's full. Those movies are full of movie stars. But when you have a movie like Dune 2, which is 2.5 hours long, and Anya Taylor-Joy says one sentence and is in it for like three shots. We said we were going to spoil.
Tim Blake,
then you know that,
I was just
like,
reading
it's
about how
cramped with
Tim Blake Nelson got cut out of the movie.
Really?
He shot scenes. I mean, he's not a movie star, but you know, again, another really talented character actor.
But people just want to be involved in a project like that. That's why I'll interject. People just want to be involved in a project like that. Look, I'm not a movie star by any stretch of the imagination, but if I was on that level,
I'll stretch my imagination.
Thank you. I appreciate you, John. This is why you just started looking up. That just took everything away. Your imagination's going wild. But if you tell me, you want a small role, you got to work one day on Dune 2, it's not going to take away from your regular schedule what you're doing with anything else. Of course, you're going to go work on that shit. Yeah. I'm like, let me go do it. Now, if you get cut, you're like, damn, I did film a scene. It didn't make it, but I still got paid either way. I'm in the credits more than likely either way.
Yeah.
Denny's making a third movie.
Yes. Huh? Yeah. And he'll always bring me back. Yeah, Evan.
To kind of expand on Jay's point, too, like, I besides just the project, being involved with the project, being able to work with a director in that way, too, right? Like, you want to work with a prestige director.
Mm.
Think someone like Wes Anderson, right? Who collects, like, has huge casts, but also, like, Asteroid City, Margot Robbie. You know, she's in it for
one scene.
One scene, 5 minutes. Like, that's one day of filming, like Jay said, but it's you get to work with a director that, you know, is being heralded as like a master.
And even for big movie stars like Margot Robbie, I say everybody's name wrong.
I don't think no one knows what it is. We all say it.
Thank you. But like, it's also nice to like, hey, you're busy carrying entire movies here and there. Come in for 2 days, kill it.
You know,
don't need to block off four months of your schedule or whatever,
about
right?
This film. Yeah, totally.
Just sneak out those little things, get to work with different casts, whatever.
But, yeah, and I mean, it's very true too, right? With like Tommy Bechtold, know him, don't know if you guys are, if you're familiar.
I've heard of that guy.
You know, he did a scene as like an extra in a Matt Shackman thing, and then Matt liked him and gave him a couple of lines in the show, and then he got an audition to do some stuff on the Monarch Legacy of Monsters show. Didn't get it, but whatever. And now he's going to be in Fantastic Four.
Tommy is?
No, I made that.
Oh, okay. Well, we don't know. They haven't started filming yet. Could happen.
First of all, I'm going to tell you what would have been the best part. The best part about that was if he'd have just spoiled Tommy's NDA. Yeah, now he's in Fantastic Four. Now Tommy calling into
this film, and he's the fifth.
Tommy calling into the show right now. What the fuck, John?
He's Robbie Herbie, the robot, or Herbie the robot.
I'll take Herbie Tommy.
Well, and coming back to Dune. So, you know, I was thrilled as a fan of the franchise and somebody who loved this movie. I'm glad to see it made a bunch of money. Not that I don't get any of that money, but it's nice in that, like, you want to see good movies get rewarded.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it feels like bad movies get rewarded, or good movies come out and not enough people see them. And so you want, like, studios and creators to be incentivized to keep making great movies. So, first off, I like that. And then, you know, there's all this speculation. This movie definitely ends in a way that sets up a third in the franchise. Dune Messiah, probably being Denis Villeneuve, has said in press that, like, he's already written that script. He's probably going to take some time off before he goes back. Wants to do a non-Dune movie in between, but clearly wants to do a third movie. This movie seems to have made enough money that maybe the studio would be justified making a third movie, especially Warner Brothers would love to have more successful franchises.
I'm sure Warner Brothers is also incentivized to, now that they've lost Christopher Nolan, they used to do this Christopher Nolan, like, hey, yeah, give us a Batman film, and then we'll give you
whatever you want,
give us another Batman film, we'll get you
Inception. Inception. Yeah.
So, you know, wouldn't it be great to have that relationship with another filmmaker? Yeah. Hey, you know,
do this, then you can go do Arrival or whatever. Yeah.
But also, you have Warner Brothers, and look, I understand Doom makes money, right? Like I stated earlier, it hasn't even opened in China and Japan. So that we don't know what those box office receipts are going to be. But you're talking, granted, yes, this is going to be its own safe franchise. But when you have legacy directors and you have a studio that, like Warner, that's like, yeah, we guess what? We're going to write this off a tax incentive. Does that keep a director from wanting to keep working with them going forward, whether the film is making money or not? Because you can put your hard work into something and you hear, well, we're going to write it off and delete it.
I wonder.
I
wonder how much of that filters down. Like, is it like when you're one of those big time directors, you get treated differently than everybody else?
Christopher Nolan left Warner Brothers.
See? But we don't know. That can't be the only reason.
That's what he says. And yeah. Denis very specifically put I think there's a 45 or a 90 day theatrical
requirement
for Dune 2 because it got put on HBO Max
same
while it was still in theaters.
Yeah. Same day.
So
the first one. Yeah.
You know.
I want to talk about, so probable that a third movie will come at some point, we hope. And there's this Bene Gesserit spinoff show, right? That like was in production. There was some changing behind the scenes. I think the showrunner got fired. They decided to go in a different direction. It might not have been all the way in production, but there was a writer's room certainly assembled. Like, does this feel like, does the Dune world have the potential, not at the scale of Star Wars, certainly almost nothing could be at the scale of Star Wars as far as volume of media, but like, could this be, we have a Dune property in our lives every year for most of the next 10 years?
Is there enough within the story to expand upon?
Well, we'll see. Because I mean, if Mandalorian Season 1 wasn't a hit, is there enough in the Star Wars universe to justify that?
Well, we've talked about it for years, just in general, not on camera, that the Star Wars world, the universe, is big. You hear about these little bitty things here and there, and you just expand upon those. So with Dune is the same question. Like, I'm assuming it's all these different houses and different people and stuff. So do you expand on their legacies and stuff?
Yeah, and you know, Dune kind of follows, like, the novels mostly follow, like, one family's storyline that goes for a long period of time, multiple generations. But the universe of Dune has like a weird, crazy backstory where, like, there's a giant war against AI that the humans won, and so they banned all technology, and that's why they fight with swords and shit like that. I don't know if you'd want to, you could, but all that is to say, in the same way we're going to the High Republic era of Star Wars,
right?
You know, you can go back and forth in time a little bit if you wanted to, possibly.
My fear would be you have this book or this book series that has been forever considered unadaptable. We've seen, this is the fourth attempt to adapt Dune. We've got, you know, the Jodorowsky version that never came to fruition, the David Lynch version that did come out that has been panned and is like a little goofy if you watch it now. And the 2000, I think there was
Sci-Fi Channel.
There was a TV show in 2000. And none of it worked, right? Except for this one. And well, so my worry would
I'll make
be,
a strong argument that David Lynch movie worked, John.
But I'll talk about that in a second. I think that if you lose Denny, even though he's laid a lot of the groundwork, you're probably going to lose the audience.
Yeah,
because
okay.
You talk about changes from the book to this movie. The most significant one is probably around Paul's sister,
Leah,
not being born. She in the movie or in the book, she's born at this point in the story and is talking as like a little 2-year-old girl. And so I guess I bring that up to say David Lynch's Dune doesn't shy away from those kinds of book moments. We get to see some of the space navigators who have taken so much spice that they no longer look like humans and they look like these weird blob things. And it's like Denny making those changes to make it a little bit, I don't want to say more palatable, but like a little bit more, you could suspend your disbelief. If we lose that, then the you know, Children of Dune and, yes. and all these sort of like outsized properties get weirder.
I'd love to see in the chat, and the story gets weirder, period, going forward. So like, yeah, who's handling that will be important. In the chat, like, things like this, what type of property can be separated from its original kind of creator, right? Like, Star Wars has had a lot of success after George Lucas. You can make a, you know, Batman. Yeah. There's been multiple film Batmans that didn't need Tim Burton to guide them, right?
But they all stayed they stayed about Batman, though.
Yes, and who is an existing property, and I guess this is an existing property, but that's a good point, right? Do some property, and there's even like the Harry Potter franchise had multiple directors, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever.
But
like,
you also think about, you know, a lot of people are comparing this to Star Wars. A lot of people are also comparing this to The Lord of the Rings. You had three great films there, and then you bring back the same fucking guy and the same writers to go do this, you know, like sort of expanded trilogy of Hobbit films, and like those just don't work. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally, as like a fan of movies, I want Denny to make Dune Messiah and then go make great original films for the rest of his life that we can enjoy.
Yeah, especially there's such a limited, in Hollywood right now, there's such a limited subset of directors that get huge budgets to make original ideas. It's like Nolan, maybe Denis Villeneuve, maybe like your Jordan Peele's, like a couple guys. There's not that many people that they'll just give a big check to and let them do their thing, right? Yeah Evan?
Should probably move on, but just really quick, Alicia VP saying Star Trek in answer to your question.
Sure. Yeah.
About things that can move away. The last point I want to mention, because Jay brought it up earlier, but according to Collider, Dune Part 2 made $32.2 million just in IMAX, which is 18% of the global box office. And specifically, and like Jay said, it hasn't opened in China and Japan yet. So when we're talking about these like big earnings from these movies, like Jay, especially for someone like you who isn't interested in it, like, do you think we'll get more kind of like specialty screenings like this, like more IMAX, the IMAX treatment applied to other, you know, things that might not have the as much prestige initially going in?
If it's an IP that already exists, absolutely. Mm. Because that's where the game is now. Hollywood is now focused on properties that already exist that have a fan base. You see books are being adapted like hotcakes. Every time you turn over, this best-selling novel from 20, 30 years ago is now being brought up. And again, you say this is the fourth adaptation of Dune. So you get somebody, you get a prestige director. You're going to find something that says, hey, people are like, yo, they should have done this way. And you get that one director attached to it. You get a Denis Villeneuve, is that how I'm saying it right? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't butchering it. But you get a director like that. You get a Spielberg, a Scorsese type, a Nolan, and you attach them to it. People are going to run to go see it. Look, Oppenheimer is one of the biggest movies of the year. We'll talk about it later. It's going to probably win Best Picture. But that's because you have a director like that that drives people to theaters. People aren't going to the theater primarily. Yeah, the cast does some things, but it's the director in a sense when you have those big things.
And I think like the IMAX number is interesting in that like, yeah, the movies have become big hits now. Often, a lot of that is driven by the specialty format, right? Like seeing it, paying extra money, right, to see it in an IMAX or another special format. And it's driven by, like, people seeing it multiple times. I'm gonna go see, and it's a little different. Like, it used to be like, well, people go to the movies every weekend. So if you're just the best of the seven movies that are out, you'll probably make a lot of money. No longer the case. People don't go to the movies by default. They go because they really want to see something that they're hyped about. But then when they go, give me that expensive popcorn bucket. I'll see it on the biggest, most expensive screen. I'll pay for a reserve seat. I might go back the next day or the next weekend, right? I might not see another movie for 2 months, but I also might drop $60 on Dune 2.
Well, and
right?
I'm a little bit at the point where I still have not seen Oppenheimer because I missed it in IMAX.
It's on Peacock, dude.
I missed it in IMAX.
Oh, come on.
I haven't watched
John, you make enough money. You should have a theater in your home. Yeah. You don't make enough money for it.
That'd be great. I will see Oppenheimer at some point, but I missed Mad Max Fury Road in theaters as well. And so, yeah, I mean, to I think, was it Evan who's saying this? You know, I do think that, like, the premium experience truly is sort of the only movie theater experience I want now.
Yeah.
I don't even want to see, you know, any of these movies on a normal 120-foot
well, and
movie
screen
or whatever.
It's why a lot of genres like comedies and rom-coms are not doing as good in theaters because mm-hmm. it's like, does it feel as essential to watch a comedy in a movie theater with the IMAX and the gut rumbling sound or whatever, right? Yeah. Okay.
Anybody finna watch Bridesmaids in IMAX?
And I will diarrhea scene in 180 feet tall.
Yeah. I will catch that by saying, like, of course, I'm still going to see these movies and these things, but I wish if the AMC around the corner, which has 16 screens, you know, converted, you know, 10 of those 16 into 4 more IMAX screens, yeah. I would be personally pretty excited.
Yeah, if you had the option to see everything,
yeah,
yeah, we'd probably go more.
Madam Web and IMAX.
Oh, it'd be great.
Hey.
We almost did.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, if you got to see it, might as well see it in IMAX. Okay, so we should move on to some other headlines, but feel free to throw any Dune takes in the chat. Evan will accumulate them. We might come back to it at the end. First up, James Gunn has announced that they've started production on the artist formerly known as Superman Legacy, now just known as Superman. How do we feel about that name change?
Here's an interesting, because here's the quote around the name change. I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you know, when I wrote the first draft of the script, the title of the movie was Superman Legacy, implying that, like, you know, he wrote the script and that's how he felt about the film. And now he said, like, as he's worked on it a little bit more, he feels like the title's more appropriate to just be Superman. What does that mean?
About the story?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about, it's saying the same thing with the original title. It's about his legacy, what he's done, because he's already active in Metropolis and whatnot. He's been doing things around the world. It's about him. It's building around Superman. Also, if you notice, it's in bold letters too. It's in all caps. Yeah. And some people will say that's not different. There is a very big difference between Superman with just a capital S and Superman where all the letters are capitalized. Mm.
You think it's because James Gunn's mom texted it to him?
Yeah, I was gonna say, was it just because like the agent is used to capitalizing film names in their emails or whatever?
And dropping Legacy is interesting. It makes me think and hope that maybe there's less of a nostalgia play in this movie. Yeah, Legacy implies like the Force Awakens kind of a thing. Like, we're gonna call back to the stuff you liked as a kid. As opposed to just like, no, this is Superman now. This is the new thing. This is what it will be going forward, right? I kind of like that.
And I think there was a little bit of like conversation about, well, does this impact like Donner's Superman or whatever? Because I think that's called the Superman, right?
Is it?
I thought it was Superman.
I was reading this online, and I could be wrong, but like, I wonder if that had anything to do with, you know, either Warner or Gunn's decision to initially not call it Superman, you know, just to kind of be like, hey, we still want to show respect for these titles that have come before
us.
We're going to call it something else. And then after a while, they were like, all right, let's call it.
They're like, Richard Donner's dead. We can dance on his legacy. Speaking of legacy, Richard Donner, yours is out the door. He also shared a picture of the logo. I think we have that image. Okay. Covered in ice, snow, yeah.
You think it was like covered, they had to like shovel it out?
Yeah. Or do you think it's edible and this got shipped to the set?
Ooh.
Like a factor meal. You know what I mean? That's the dry ice that's just coming off the top.
More factor in a little bit.
Yeah.
Fortress of Solitude, probably when he first gets the suit.
Yeah. Can we pull that up one more time?
Is it being worn or do you think that's in like a crate?
I bet that's a render.
Really?
But that's snow. The snow part, that's coming out. He's somewhere in where the Fortress of Solitude is. He's got to be.
Look, isn't the focus like blurred on the edges a little bit? You think all that's?
I bet that's a render.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, I think I got it. I agree with Jay.
Yeah, it looks real, right?
Oh, I agree. That's probably the point in the movie that we'll see something like this, but that's, they haven't.
Any other?
That was released like the day before they started shooting, right?
But they're doing screen tests for months, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on the logo itself?
Isn't that I was asking Evan, isn't that the Kingdom Come logo?
Let's see. Because
it's similar to
talking about that.
It's similar to what Brandon Ralph did in Crisis. So that's
It's certainly very close. Yeah, we'll bring up a picture in the edit and we can compare.
Okay, so but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we have
the Cavils logo that we can compare it to. And then we also have this compilation from 1,000 logos of like how it's looked over a grouping of years in the illustrated form.
Because the S isn't as defined. Go back.
Yeah, the current one is one of the most stylized. The James Gunn one is even more highly stylized than the Cavil one.
Right? Yeah, if you look at the Gunn one again, if you can pull that up, please. You see how it's basically all just connected.
Yeah.
So that you could.
It is hard to
tell. It barely looks like an S.
That's what I'm saying. It barely looks like an S.
If we zoomed out a little bit, I think that the yellow on the outside will help it look more like an S.
Well, to him, that's where he sees a symbol, but to us, that's where we see an S.
Right.
Yeah. I like it, though. It'll be interesting to see. We were kind of talking about like the rest of the costume. Yeah. Do you do trunks? Do you do just solid blue?
I think James Gunn tweeted a trunks confirmation, but obviously he could take that back at any time.
This movie has to succeed, though, no matter what. No matter how much hype is behind it, this movie has to succeed for anything Gunn wants to do going forward to matter. Look, some people are like, oh, it's James Gunn, and I feel the same way. But there are people who have such a bad taste in their mouth with DC, where if this movie does not do well, that Gods and Monsters chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, everything he got set, none of it is going to matter.
You know what he has going for him, though? He did make the best movie of the DCEU.
Suicide Squad?
Yes, he did.
Speaking of whether there's a the.
Yeah.
Before the Superman. Suicide.
You know, so I mean, I think that for me personally, obviously the tone of that movie is different from the tone of the other DCEU movies. Hopefully, probably different from the tone of a lot of these DCU movies. But hey, I mean, the last like 4 or 5 James Gunn movies,
he's got a pretty good hit rate when it comes to superhero features.
Yes, he does.
We got some other Superman news. Wendell Pierce has been cast as Perry White. Of course, you know him from a million things, notably The Wire, Kamei. Yeah. I think he's on a Suits.
Suits
run, if you've rewatched that recently. Super talented actor. He's great in pretty much everything. Also does like a good, he's just like a charming Krusty. Sure, you know, kind of be pissed off, point. But you still kind of love him, you know?
That's a good way to
And so that's really fun. Of course, Lawrence Fishburne played that character in the Snyder version of Superman's story.
We get more
Lawrence Fishburne
planet in.
You think?
I hope. I feel like we didn't get
not very prominent in the Snyder films. Yeah.
Let me ask you this then: do you want more Clark Kent or more Superman? Because basically,
I could take more Clark Kent.
That's the thing. Because if you say you want more Daily Planet, you basically saying you want more Clark Kent in a movie called Superman.
Okay.
No. It's because some people just want to see him do the Superman things. True. We don't care, but look, the mild mannered reporter, you get it early in the beginning, right? And maybe while he's crying to Lois or something. But people want to see Superman, John.
And I think like that'll be really interesting. That's a great point, Jay, because like I think that's a lot of the Clark Kent stuff from the Christopher Reeves version does not hold up that well. I don't know.
We don't have phone booths anymore.
It's a little corny. Well, just like, you know, I'm 6'4 and jacked, but whatever. Like,
I'm mild mannered.
Yes. But I will say, like, a director who's as talented with dialogue and characterization as James Gunn, like, what's his Clark Kent going to look like? That could be really fun. He could do a really interesting job with
Clark
that.
Clark pulls hoes. Clark get hoes.
Clark fucks. Confirm.
Clark fucks. Clark. Confirm.
He's got headphones on the whole time. The best needle drop.
Clark mixtape 24. I think there's and then outside also I don't know if we have the image. Rachel Brosnahan posting cute videos from the set with her cast members. But of course, you know, we have a couple things coming out DC wise before this. This year we're getting the Penguin. Set in the Matt Reeves Batman universe, and Joker 2 set in its own universe.
With the dumbest budget in history. Did you hear about the budget of Joker? Yeah, Joker 2's budget is stupid-ass ridiculous.
But a lot of it is like, I think like $100 million of it is for the cast and the director.
Yeah, the 100, what is like 100?
Because they're like, we made you $1 billion off of like a $40 million budget, Warner, so we're getting paid on the second one.
Because Lady Gaga is not making that much from what I hear. She's not making, you know, you would think it would be her because she's an Academy Award winner already. You have Joaquin Phoenix, who's already the titular character, Academy Award, blah, blah, blah. He gets his pay bump, but what the fuck did Joker 2 require $120 million? $1,000.
Just wait till you see the spaceships in Joker 2.
Yeah.
Wow, those sandworms in Joker 2, they're going to hit.
Spice them okay. off of the demons.
Yeah, who knows? Again, it's a big wild card. I'm looking forward to, we don't have any trailers yet for either the Penguin series. We don't know a release date for the Penguin series.
You know
series.
What, we do have some shots from the Penguin series.
Yes.
Because HBO will do that like coming up this year. So we did get a little bit of that.
But it looked like it could have just been pulled from the movie. The mm-hmm. There's no new characters or anything like that.
I think that's great. Yeah. It looks like it's from the movie.
Yeah, and I think they shot it in Scotland or wherever they shot the Matt Reeves film. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to those two things. Jay was pointing out with the Batman 2 coming out next year, this is kind of the connecting link between those two films, right? The Penguin series. Joker 2 can do whatever the hell it wants. There may not never be another Joker film.
Do you think that, what's his name in these Joker films?
Arthur...
Fleck.
Fleck, yeah.
Okay, Arthur Fleck. Do you think he dies by the end of the movie?
He could. You can't keep doing a Joker
movie. I don't think we're making a third one.
You can't. He's got to go. They gotta die together, right?
They're bringing Joker back. We know they're bringing Joker back in Batman 2.
Oh, that's right. Barry Keoghan. Yeah.
Right. There's too many. There's a lot of Jokers.
Let's have five concurrent Jokers.
Into the Jokerverse.
Let's go. Ooh. Okay. Green light that movie. Okay. We've also got a bunch of Marvel stuff we want to talk about. But first, we want to talk about somebody who's helping us bring this show to you this week. Kalshi, our friends at Kalshi. There's the link there. So it's this, it's the first legal financial exchange in the US where you can bet on any event, including who's gonna win Oscars. So this is a fun thing Evan and I actually did right before the show started. So for instance, Emma Stone winning Best Actress was trading at 50 cents, okay? So what you can do on Kalshi is you can, for 50 cents, you sign up to the platform, for 50 cents you put that down. If she wins, you get a dollar. Okay, just as simple as that. Everything pays out a dollar. Now, also, even the next couple days before the Oscars on Sunday, if that number goes up to like 80 cents, because everybody realizes she's definitely gonna win, you can cash out and take the gap between 50 and 80, so you make 30 cent profit right there, regardless of who wins the Oscars. It's just like buying futures or stocks or whatever. So we're gonna get into some of the bets that we made in particular. I will say this, Martin Scorsese was a long shot for Best Director, 4 cents. Okay, so for 4 cents, paying a dollar. Okay, and I'm like, I know Christopher Nolan's probably gonna win, but it's worth a swing. There's a lot of people that just wanna give Marty another Oscar. He's old as hell. He's not gonna be around that long. I'm like, it's worth it. So I went long. I bought 67 shares at 4 cents. So now if that pays, so for like $3, I'll make 67 bucks though.
That's great. I thought you'd spend $67.
I did too. I was like, damn.
Based on those reactions, I will not be. But you can do, and you can also do yes or no, right? Like, so you can also, now it would cost you like 98 cents to bet that Martin Scorsese won't win because it'll pay out a dollar. You know what I mean? That kind of a thing. But like, so I took Martin Scorsese winning Best Director. I took Godzilla Minus One not winning Best Special Effects.
That's the right decision.
Because I feel like Oppenheimer is going to take that. Even though the special effects look great in Godzilla Minus One. I think Oppenheimer, the momentum is going to sweep. So I got Godzilla Minus One not winning at like 60 cents. So I'm feeling good about that. Those are a couple of my picks. We'll talk about more of them. We'll talk about Evan's picks. Producer Brandon's also making some picks. We're going to talk about those during the week. And then next Monday, we'll cash out. And I'll be buying steak dinners for everybody because Daddy's making
$67 steak dinner.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but Oppenheimer is not nominated for visual effects.
Get fucked, Zach. What are the nominees?
It's the creator,
Godzilla
Minus One, Guardians Volume 3, Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning Part 1, and Napoleon.
Napoleon.
I
need to get out of that bed before the Oscars comes.
It's Godzilla Minus One for sure.
That makes a lot of sense now. Okay, no, you know what? That's the fun. That's the fun of Kalshi, okay? Now you should be smarter. Do your research. Head to kalshi.com/breakroom. And the first 500 people that click the link, then you get a free $20. Just go, click the link, free $20, costs you no money.
How many people?
Make your fun bets. It'll give you some stakes on Sunday.
500?
So Evan and I were talking though, like there might not be that many left because we talked about this last week as well. So grab it now if you haven't already. Free $20. And again, then you'll have some fun on Oscar Sunday. Okay, let's talk some Marvel stuff.
I was trying to get my coffee on.
Jay, we'll get you. We'll make sure you
get one of them. I never get mine.
So, starting with Venom 3, Tom Hardy shared a little picture from the set of Venom. There we go. And that's him with the director and who we think are two producers.
That
he didn't name
like
them.
Ivan Reitman.
It does.
We don't know who the other two gentlemen are. But so the important thing about this is the t-shirt he's wearing. Is the same
is
t-shirt.
Is it
Riot? I wish. It's the same outfit he was wearing in the post-credit scene of Spider-Man No Way Home when he's at the little bar in Mexico.
It could just pick up immediately because we don't know like how the time is going to work. Like, we don't know if it's going to be a day, a week, or literally that exact moment. Like, I think that's what it is.
I think it's got to be that exact moment. Yeah. I know that their, like, human being behavior is, yes, I will put on the same t-shirt that I wore 3 weeks ago and this exact same shirt over top of it. That's what a human would do, but a production or a costume designer would not put him in the same.
You don't think Tom Hardy is Charlie Brown in it?
No,
he just wears that Warrior shirt all
the time.
It's possible
that this is one of those movies that's like a sequence movie where he's wearing the same outfit the whole time because there's no time to, like, take a shower.
Because it's like set over the course of 2 days or something.
But, and he smelled like symbiote.
What do you think the symbiote smells like?
Symbiote? Depends on how you pronounce it. Symbiote probably smells, I would say, like, you ever walk into a butcher shop?
Yeah, he's eating a lot of raw meat.
A lot of blood.
Right?
A lot of blood.
Because he's so, like veiny and moist.
Yeah.
Too.
A bouquet of dead pig dicks.
Ooh. Happy Valentine's.
That's the YouTube short for this episode of The Breakroom.
Evan,
did you have a dick that you wanted to share?
Well, no, off that, Sarah Hatcher-Owen said, if you had a symbiote, what would it sound like?
Oh, because Venom in the film's like, Eddie, you're a loser, Eddie.
Eddie.
That's pretty good.
Eddie.
I want my symbiote to be full Valley Girl.
Oh. Like, John, could we, like, eat this guy?
Here's the thing, Eddie. If you don't eat another chicken, you're going to fucking lose it.
Oh, my God, John. I want to eat that guy.
I will eat people, okay?
That's good. That's a good pick. I was going to say, I want, like, a Prince-style falsetto.
<It's> also good.
We are eating guys. Eddie! I can't hit the high notes, otherwise that would have been a really good impression. You know?
I know what my symbiote is going to sound like. Pardon me. Hey, Jay, we need to go ahead and fuck these people up real quick. So listen.
Hey, is this Kermit almost?
Yeah, you got this Kermit type of... Hey, listen, I got a cigarette and some bad bitches you need to go get. Now, listen. I just tried to get you some new Jordans. They don't fit over me. So I'm going to need you to reevaluate your life decisions.
It's like villain Kermit with the hood up and that meme.
I know. Uncle Venom over
Uncle
here.
Uncle Venom out here. Right. Hey, listen. Sometimes on my planet, I tell these young bucks, like, you got to get on the goo, baby. Get on the goo.
That's great. I want to see that. I want to see that symbiote. So we know that a bit of the little, Venom symbiote goo got left behind in the post-credit scene from No Way Home. And Venom's quote from that post-credit scene is, 80 billion light years of hive knowledge across universes would explode your tiny little brain.
Yeah, right? So that was in Venom 2, and that was a post-credit scene in Venom 2, and then in No Way Home, the symbiote gets
in which he's also wearing that same shirt.
Same shirt, yes. Whole same outfit.
Yes, thank you. So there's all these rumors swirling that Spider-Man 4 will be like midway between like a grounded street level story and a multiverse story. There seem to be maybe competing factions at Sony that want those two things. But if they go more multiverse story or big space story or whatever, right? Could the symbiotes kind of be the way to tie in the Sony characters and the MCU?
I think we need a Marvel Studios Eddie Brock. Because as much as I love Tony Revolori, that's the homie, you're not putting the symbiote on him.
Agreed.
So you're not putting it on Flash Thompson, right? You need a Marvel Studios Eddie Brock.
And you think it won't be Tom Hardy?
Absolutely not. Let's go. I want an Eddie Brock like the 90s Spider-Man show. The older dude who's just down on his luck, he gets the symbiote and all of a sudden he got a weight set coming to his house, which no one explained in the cartoon, okay? If you remember in the 90s Spider-Man anime, after the symbiote hit him, Eddie was fired. Eddie didn't have a job, but he had a bunch of weights come to his house.
Discount weights? Maybe he just got an aunt in like Kansas is like, hey, Eddie, take this.
They don't live weights. They live tractors. Sorry, just things that's in my mind.
Also, does he even need to be strong? Because doesn't the symbiote
give him strength?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, yes.
We never see Tom Hardy doing any, you know, reps.
What would happen if Eddie Brock did cocaine? Would Venom be high off cocaine too?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, is there a shared circulatory system element?
He's coming from him,
yeah. Right?
I feel like I remember reading at some point.
Eddie, these mushrooms got me going. When he's,
whatever. I think the only permissible way to combine these two universes is if Sony says to Marvel, hi, you're better than us.
Which they have said in the past.
We're going to make a 10-year deal with you. Mm. You will have access to all of our Spider-Man characters.
They only want one, but okay.
Marvel Studios only wants one. You're required to make one Spider movie per year.
Oh.
Per year?
And then we'll get... Well, because, yeah, I mean, Sony wants to be making two or three. I don't necessarily want one Spider film per year, but, like, you know, I'm trying to make a realistic deal.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
10 years, 10 films, $10 billion. Do it. Do it.
I think that never happens for a couple of reasons, John.
I agree. It's not
I don't think Disney's in a strong enough position right now to like want to help out another studio. Sure. Mm. I also think in their heart of hearts, Disney would love it if there's just less total superhero films out there and that they can be like 80% of them. I think they would prefer if there's like one DC movie and one Sony movie, mm-hmm. maybe, mm. and then they get to be all the others. Cause I think they're now worried like when two of these drop a month, it's really watering it down for us too, right? And even though Disney has nothing to do with Madam Web coming out doesn't help Disney in any way. That hurts Disney, right?
People think it's an MCU.
People think it's an MCU movie.
Yeah.
That and that, John, you know what? High five, buddy.
My first high five from Jay. Well,
first ever. Wow.
Because if you saw Supreme Dreams, it's a group of them. They do sketches on Instagram and TikTok. They talk about Madam Web, but they put all the MCU movies in there. People think that Madam Web was an MCU movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the cast did.
That's why they signed on to the movie.
Can we, let's jump to the Factor. We want to talk about our friends at Factor Meals. So, like, this is absolutely true. My mom watches this show. Shout out Mary Huddleston, Jacksonville, Florida. My mom has no idea what we're talking about. She's never seen any of the movies or TV
Canadian.
Shows. What's that?
You're American?
No, yeah, I'm an immigrant.
Okay, got it.
Canada. But my mom watches the show. I think the part she enjoys the most besides seeing her baby boy on her laptop is the ads. And she legitimately signed up for Factor Meals using the New Rockstars promo code. Not only that, my mom got my sister and my aunt to sign up too. So now the extended Huddleston family is doing enough to support Factor Meals. But I texted them, and my sister wrote back. I was like, are you liking those Factor Meals? She legitimately wrote back, I love them. I was surprised at how flavorful and fresh they are. Somebody asked me the other day what my favorite meal was, and I really couldn't decide. They were all so good, 10 out of 10. Does that sound like that was generated by AI? Yes, but it was a text from my sister, Amy Huddleston McDaniel, also in Jacksonville, Florida. My mom didn't respond to my text, otherwise I would have quoted her.
Now ask her right now while she's watching.
Yeah, throw in the Twitch chat.
Yeah, your mom throwing in the chat.
I
wish she knew how to use Twitch, God, man. Damn. My mom would be hilarious on Twitch. But of course, Factor's a meal delivery service that we love. It's fresh, never frozen meals. You know, they make eating easier. That's why my mom and my sister loved them, because they're busy people. They're ready to eat, and they're ready to heat and eat. There's no shopping, chopping, cooking, any of that stuff. Real quick, 2 minutes, and you're eating good food. Chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals are healthy. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons, including options for breakfast and midday bites. Choose your meals every week or pause and reschedule your deliveries whenever you need. Factor is less expensive than takeout, And now Break Room viewers can get an extra discount, just like my mom and sister. Head to factormeals.com/breakroom50 and use code breakroom50 to get 50% off. That's code breakroom50 at factormeals.com/breakroom50. The link's on screen and in this video's description. Thank you very much.
I think one of the like underrated parts of Factor are those add-ons, because they stop you from like, first of all, they're like individual, so you can put them in your car, you can bring them to work or whatever.
Yes.
Second of all, I can generally have like a plan. I know what I'm eating for dinner tonight, right? But like, I'm hungry right now.
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
You need a little nosh.
That's what I like about the Factor.
You can get, Evan and I were talking about, you can get those little like, little immunity shot guys with the little cayenne and the lemon.
What do you want?
Ooh, yeah, I always do that. I always like a spicy one or a lemon one or a ginger one or whatever. Those are great. Okay, also, you know it, you love it. Jelly Bean Planet, John's home planet.
What is this? Some kind of there's an incoming message from
what? Tune two popcorn bucket making an appearance. Oh no! What's in there? Is it popcorn, John? Get it? It's tough.
I think it's the circumference.
It's a bat. Oh God. Okay. Yeah.
It's just that the
underrated thing. The dude popcorn bucket is too small for most hands.
It doesn't fit.
John and I don't even have huge hands. We can't fit in the dude popcorn bucket.
So
I'm not finna fist that thing. You see these hands.
Speaking of fisting, grab a fistful of jelly beans from Jelly Bean Planet. They've got so many different containers, like the 8-ounce triangular box. We have that one.
We don't got that one
but
right
now. But we do have the Papa Bean.
The Papa Bean. This is a great little single, you know, you pop out a couple mystery flavors. And the 42.5 ounce. This is, you keep this on the desk, on the bookshelf, whatever. You've got a nice supply for a while. And especially for Easter, right?
Easter's around the corner. We love eating jelly beans on Easter. All those natural flavors and plant-based colors. No GMOs, no gelatin, no gluten, no palm oil. Have a freaking safe Easter.
Thank you for not cursing on your Easter promo, John.
The Lord is risen. If you want to check out Jelly Bean Planet, they're just good jelly beans, quite frankly.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Check out the link in the description or find them on Amazon. Again, they sent us, I shit you not, like more than we could carry in jelly beans, and we're going through them.
Yeah. We're down to our last couple.
It's kind of scary.
We've been eating
them. They're good. They're
really good. If you were at the live show, you might have gotten some.
Yeah, we also had some.
And we still have more.
Yeah, we handed out a bunch to the folks that showed up at our live show last month. Okay, we want to talk a little bit of Oscar stuff. Evan?
Yes. Before that, in response to Jay's suggestion about a 616 Eddie Brock, Latin Blues said Glenn Powell for Eddie Brock.
Oh,
it's interesting.
He's got the like jock, dickhead energy to him.
I need a break.
Yeah. What's that?
I need 2 years off.
2 years off what?
I need 2 years off of Glenn Powell.
What? He's got like five movies coming.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's too much. Slow down, dude.
Get on board, my
Holy
man.
Shit. You got no just got Austin Butler. Now you?
Jesus.
Hey.
I'm in on
Austin Butler. I don't know about Glenn Powell.
I hate to know what y'all gonna say when I got these 5-6 movies coming out in 1 year. I hate to watch.
Slow down, dude. I don't want to see Jay in every imprint commercial, 4imprint commercial.
What's imprint?
4imprint is like another Vistaprint and stuff like that. Oh. So I did a commercial where I played a security guard where they had me in the world's biggest security shirt and then put me on an Apple box so I could look like I was 6'8". I was like, there's no need to do all this. Some hold it, I have to sign Jody's birthday card. And everybody keeps seeing the damn commercial. I'm like, oh my God, I guess you're getting a lot of money from it. I was like, no, that's why we went on strike.
There you go. So this Sunday is the Oscars.
Easter.
And Daylight Savings.
Oh, yeah.
All happening.
And Easter is not this Sunday.
Is there a Catholic
No,
in the chat?
Easter's at the end of March. Easter's like March 30th.
Because next, the Sunday after next, is St. Patrick's Day. Drink it up, baby.
Wow. So we were talking earlier and talking about the Kalshi platform where we were making bets about who's going to win what. But, you know, the Oscars are coming up this Sunday. There's been a lot of award shows leading up to this. You know, Oppenheimer has been kind of cleaning up. It's the runaway favorite for the best picture. I think on Kalshi, it's only like 96 cents to win a dollar because
it's a favorite.
Yes, it's by far the favorite. Do you think there's any chance something else wins?
We keep talking about The Favorite. I'd prefer if we started talking about Poor Things.
The other Yardos. Whoa, nice pull, John. Evan's got his head in his hands.
That's
over
maybe
there.
The one where you say, like, that could sneak in. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, because, you know, Poor Things quietly has made $100 million at the box office. It's kind of a low-key hit.
The Oscars are trying. The Oscars always go for like these indie darlings, these small movies. Just because Oppenheimer been sweeping everything else, and this is big blockbuster movie.
Yes,
don't be surprised.
Well, and a lot of people have talked about how in the last 10 years they've added a ton of international members to the Academy, and so like that contributed to like Parasite winning Best Picture, even like Everything Everywhere All at Once, right, which had a lot of Asian cast members, like that might have been helped a little bit. Also, there's a really good campaign was running around that, where it was like an underdog campaign. What's that, John?
Yeah, both those movies are so fucking good.
Oh, they're also great movies, so of course, well deserving. Time. But like, they toppled much larger totally, budget, bigger studio films, right? So could an Anatomy of a Fall sneak in there?
Killers of the Flower Moon definitely isn't getting it.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
It doesn't feel like it. It hasn't been winning many awards.
There are 10 of these fucking movies that are nominated for Best Picture.
Right. Yeah, do we want to go over them really quickly?
American Fiction is like, that's, you know, great.
That's getting screenplay.
That's not getting.
That's getting adapted screenplay.
Sure.
Shout out to the Home Court.
Barbie is nominated for Best Picture. There we go. There we go. Ooh, that looks nice. Is that the official Academy website?
That's the official. Right. I know. I got up.
The holdovers. Speaking of the holdovers, Paul Giamatti and Divine Joy Randolph, both kind of front runners in their categories.
Yeah, Maestro not going to happen.
Oppenheimer and Past Lives probably not. Poor Things, Zone of Interest.
Can we talk about how hard Bradley Cooper is trying with Maestro?
He is doing all the press.
The press is weird too.
He's talking
about like showering with his kids and walking around his house naked and stuff.
He's doing like he's doing like New York Times Magazine photo shoots like in his underwear in a river and stuff like that.
Those
I mean, I liked Maestro. I thought it was a great performance, but man, he is.
He's going hard to try to get the thing he's not going to win for.
It's like he hasn't slept in 2 months, and he's just like, if I got to talk about this movie one more time, we're going to get weird. you know, I would say beyond Barbie and Oppenheimer, none of those movies necessarily fall into the break room oeuvre per se, but a lot of folks that have made movies we like and have shown up occasionally in Marvel and other things.
Is anyone in the chat interested in us talking about movies that are outside of our oeuvre? Evan and I are going to start a podcast.
Outside our oeuvre?
Anybody in the chat right now just want us to use the word oeuvre more often?
Should we use, is it egg related?
Ooh, good point. How about milieu? Can I get that out into more sentences?
I don't know that word.
Repartee?
That's a good
one.
That
is a word.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
So what are your predictions? What are your predictions?
I mean, I'm not good at it, as evidenced by my bad calls you bets. Yeah, I think like people are talking about Oppenheimer has the potential, like every once in a while, like with Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, or what were you talking about? Mad Max Fury Road. Mm-hmm. Like a movie just kind of sweeps all the categories, right? And just ends up kind of soaking up all the oxygen in the room. This might be one of those years.
I agree, yeah. So the movie that's just like a front to back technical masterpiece and that has good storytelling, good acting.
Everything Everywhere All at Once did that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it swept everything.
Yeah, all the acting categories it's nominated in, a lot of the other stuff, Best Director, Best Picture, right? Yeah. And you know, I think there's like, when a movie is nominated in a ton of categories, I think it can be easy to just like check all those boxes, right?
Yeah, but it'd be nice if the Academy voters actually watched every movie.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, because there's been there every year. What?
Be real.
I know. I know they won't, because every year there's always this. There's always this article with a bunch of anonymous voters who said, I'm not watching these movies.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that sucks, because there could be a movie that could be a great film. Maybe I don't know about it. You don't know about it. But the Academy voters get to watch it, and then all of a sudden it shocks people.
And what Jay is sort of referring to is every year the Hollywood Reporter puts out this like anonymous, we talk to Academy voters about their picks, and they always choose the most fucking off the wall people.
And it'll often be like, I'm voting for this actor because I met him at a party once and he was cool.
Literally.
It's like, I didn't even see the movie.
Not a joke. Or, you know, my son is in this movie.
Sure.
Or, you know,
it's a little trolling. It always has been, but yeah.
Some will be like, oh, well, I didn't see Oppenheimer because I don't like Batman or whatever, and I don't want to watch Christopher. That's how crazy some of these movies
I don't want to watch Christopher Nolan films.
And you know what? In any time it's a voting a popularity contest kind of thing, there's going to be some crazies. There's going to be some dumb. Some of the reasons people give for voting for president are equally ludicrous, right?
Nikki Haley just won, my girl.
In D.C.?
John.
Let's go, D.C.
John,
shut up.
We don't need a villain on the break room.
So let me ask this. Is there a way, I'm going to try to skew this real quick. Is there a way you can find out the breakdown of voters?
The breakdown of voters?
Like as far as men to women? Because that's been one of the biggest things.
They have published some data on that recently. And, you know, there was a big, after the Oscars so white.
Yeah, that's what I was done.
A few years back. The Academy did commit and like to diversifying their membership, and they have like over the last couple of years they've added a ton of people, and that's where like it's been big influxes of international people, mm-hmm. women, people of color, all this kinds of stuff. But like it was so male and so white that it is still majority male, majority white, even with the giant additions of all these other people, and it was something like. They would need to keep adding that number of people every year for decades to ever fully.
Because a lot of the Academy voters, for those who don't know, are a bunch of old white men and women actors, producers, and stuff who ain't done shit in Hollywood in decades.
And you stay until you die.
You stay until you die.
Like, if you made a movie in '83 that got nominated and you haven't done anything since and you haven't even watched a movie since, you're still in.
You're still able to vote.
Think of that little girl from *Beasts of the Southern Wild*. She's voting for Oscars.
K'Vondjanae Wallace.
Yes.
Good pull. Good pull.
I think that her name correctly too.
That's the only name I will ever say properly on the break room.
Because I can't even say that shit right.
And one thing they did is they reached out to a lot of people. They added a lot of people that have not necessarily been nominated. Like, I think they had, like, Donald Glover's in the Academy now.
Idris Elba is.
Yes. And so just like, but clearly those are people that are big in the industry and have done a lot of work just because they haven't specifically been nominated for a film. They, of course, those people should be voting, right?
And so that's what I'm saying, because you have this, we know what the overwhelming body is. These are the people that just vote, and it's like, I'm not watching Barbie.
Yes. I also think...
I don't know, that was a pretty overwhelming body for me.
What? Oh, John, come on.
I have a career, you're not going to fuck this up.
They could do a system where it's like, if you haven't seen X number of movies this year, you get booted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, pull up your fucking Letterboxd Academy voters. Come on.
Well, and also, like, if you're in the Academy, you get screeners for everything.
Yeah.
You get, like, digital links. You get invited to all these special screenings where the movie stars are there.
Truly.
Right? Yeah, and so it's like, they don't have an excuse, especially for seeing the, like, a million movies get put out every year. You're never going to see all the potential ones nominated for foreign film or animated short
or whatever. But Best Picture is the main one.
But, like, every year there's a kind of consensus 40 movies you should see, right?
Yes.
Like, and if you can't see 30 of those, you shouldn't be voting for the Academy Awards, right? Yeah.
I agree.
It's not that hard.
It's the same thing with us with SAG.
I agree.
When SAG Awards come out around, we vote. We as SAG members vote for our peers. And so, you know, you're like, hey, who's the best actor? All right, okay, they're in this series or whatever. So we get the links to them and stuff like that. But it's absurd the way the voting goes, because it's a popularity contest one way or another, no matter what, right? But it's not a fair popularity contest. Like you said, people are like, yo, I voted for this person because I met them at a party.
Yes.
And not because of their work.
And then famously, there are like some actors who people are talking about Robert Downey Jr. is probably going to win. He's great in Oppenheimer, but he's also been pressing the flesh. He's also like a very beloved guy.
Yeah.
He's been in Hollywood for 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you could have met him on Less Than Zero or Chaplin, right? And loved him then. And you also could have met him on Endgame or Dr. Dolittle or whatever.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. And so like, and he's also second generation. So there's even people.
And there's a bunch of people who
knew his dad.
Met him at a party and did cocaine with him. Or
that's what I was saying.
He's got my vote. You know what I mean?
He has a redemption arc. That's what it is for Dad. This is like the culmination of his. If he wins it, which he more than likely is, this is the culmination of his return and redemption arc. Because remember, they had Jon Favreau had to fight to get him in Iron Man.
Yeah.
So,
and there's a long history of like people getting rewarded for their careers more so than an individual.
Jamie Lee Curtis last year, right?
Leo for Revenant.
Michelle Yeoh was excellent in Everything Everywhere All at Once, but also this incredible career. People felt like it should be acknowledged. Why not this one, right? Yeah. Scorsese for Departed. Is that what he won for?
No. Oh, yeah, you're right. He did. Yeah.
Anyways, Evan.
Just to kind of make good on what we said, let's do some quick predictions here. Brian, bring up actor in a supporting role. Do you think anyone beats out De Niro? I mean, not De Niro.
Downey.
Downey.
Nope.
No, he's got it.
He's got it. Okay.
What Even though it should, Gosling should give him a run for his money.
No. Watch that movie again.
Oh, never mind. Let's go. Let's just go. Scroll down.
Plus, the Academy never rewards comedy. They love drama over comedy.
Yeah.
And sorry, since I've said
which movie
a
were
bunch
you
of
saying?
Fucked up stuff today about Nikki Haley and stuff like that. I loved Barbie and it was great. But I don't think Ryan Gosling's performance stands up to some of these other ones.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, John. Let's see. Anyone beating out? I think this was interesting because Emma Stone was a favorite to win this, and then Lily Gladstone,
they're kind of head to head, right?
Yeah. I think it's Lily. If Annette Bening pulls this out of nowhere,
that's wild.
That's when you know the Academy is extremely old.
Yes, right? You do, because I would say Lily Gladstone. It looked like it should be her.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's my preference.
Animated feature. Do you think Spider-Verse? I mean, speaking of Kalshi, I have my money on Boy and the Heron here. What do you guys think?
So what was the odds?
It's Boy and the Heron is 36 to Spider-Verse, a large majority. Yeah. 90 something.
I think
or 80
undeniably
or
80 gonna be
something.
I'm shocked that Elemental is nominated, to be quite honest with you.
That's true.
Because I'm I'm gonna tell you what I would replace Elemental with. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it was definitely.
What about Robot Dreams? I haven't.
I saw the trailer for Robot Dreams last Friday. That movie looks super fun.
Netflix dropped Nimona on YouTube during voting.
Yes, they did. Like,
hey, watch it for free, please. You don't even need your $9.99 a month Netflix subscription or whatever.
$9.99.
What's Netflix cost?
Depends.
$30.
And then I think there was one more other one I wanted to hit here.
Yeah,
documentary. It feels like Oppenheimer's got it.
John, you need to start doing documentary shorts. I feel like that's your angle. That's the best way you could get an Oscar.
Okay,
you know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah.
Should I talk to Mickey?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
So I think, let's, okay. So now that we know Oppenheimer, now that we know Oppenheimer is not in visual effects, what do you guys
think? I'm Godzilla minus one. Unless, because again, this is something that this is a category that I will say they will nominate, they will reward comic book movies out of.
Yeah. So they often. Marvel does pretty good.
Marvel does well in these categories.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in particular.
Yeah.
With those like little baby raccoons and shit.
And the visuals of watching Rocket go through that.
Just, we take for granted how good Groot and Rocket look.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we've seen them so much, they look great.
Yeah.
They're some of the best CGI characters ever.
But I do think we're in a little bit of a Marvel avoidance period, especially with voters like this. So I would probably give it to Godzilla or to
Outside Shot the Creator.
I think Creator could sneak in.
You could see through these people's heads.
Creator, yeah, because of that, but also Creator is all about AI, baby.
Yeah.
It's all about AI.
And it's the underdog, right? I guess that and Godzilla Minus One are the two underdogs in this category because they were like lower budgeted films that still looked great.
Yeah.
But also Godzilla Minus One, once it dropped, sorry to cut you off, has everybody's been talking about it nonstop.
Yeah. And again, a more international academy might lean towards a Japanese language film. Okay, well.
Any other things before?
Writing adapted, that's the one with American Fiction, right?
And Barbie.
Which is weird, because again...
Oh, that's a stacked fucking category.
American Fiction.
Yeah.
No, I don't
Well, a lot of people, it's the leader.
It won something recently.
Yes, it did. It's American Fiction. And I'm not saying that because Court the homie, but that's American Fiction.
It has the highest odds on Kalshi, I believe. That's going to be a tough category.
Because like you said, it's like the Academy doesn't really award... I think that's probably the most comedic movie.
Barbie.
Maybe Barbie.
I don't know. Zone of Interest was a real knee slapper.
Oh, my God.
Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We'll be back tomorrow. Evan's got a really fun episode planned for tomorrow. I don't want to spoil it. And then I'm going to be back on Wednesday. We got another really fun episode. If you wanted more Madam Web in your life.
Oh, Jesus.
No. Show up on Wednesday.
I'm sorry.
You don't need to
I'm so sorry.
You don't need to have seen the movie. You don't need to have seen the movie. We're actually going to mention Madam Web without needing to talk about the film at all, you're going to want to be here on Wednesday. But follow us on Twitch and YouTube, of course. In addition to social media, Evan's often putting fun stuff on Instagram and other places. Follow Jay. Where's the best place for people to know about what you're up to, Jay?
Man, follow me on Instagram, Mr. Jay Washington. I am trying to fund my stand-up special. If you want to donate, there's a link. I keep posting it. Please go to my link tree. Help me make this special happen.
And Jay's doing great work on Instagram. He's always posting really funny content.
Thank you.
It's the least you could do is pay for that content by supporting his stand-up special.
God damn it, Seth.
Yes. Don't follow John anywhere, including down a dark alley.
If you do want to watch my stand-up special, it is on all competing platforms to whichever one Jay is putting his out on.
So his is on Rumble.
Mine's on Rumble. Oh, I need to stop cultivating such a MAGA.
You did it. You set yourself up for
John Bongino over there. Okay. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our Break Room live streams at Break Room NR on Twitch at 3 p.m. Pacific. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. You can find us at Break Room NR on Instagram and X. Thanks for listening. Later, Gators.